The Heart of Rural America is brought to you by the new auction platform, Bid on Beef. We invite you to buy beef the cowboy way through an honest bidding process where you have the power to pick the ranch, pick the cut, and pick the price. You are in the driver's seat, and we are excited to ship beef directly to your door. Use code WELCOME10 for your first $10 to shop when you register to bid at bidonbeef.com. Welcome to the Heart of Rural America podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Radke, an American cattle rancher and motivational speaker, raising my kids and writing children's books in South Dakota. There's a David and Goliath story unfolding in agriculture today. And I don't know about you, but my money is on the underdog, the hardworking folks who value faith, family, freedom, and their farming communities. This show will highlight the untold stories of these resilient and determined families who I have the great pleasure of meeting in my travels across this nation as an agricultural speaker. It is my hope that their stories will remind us to live with great courage, because we are not alone in this fight to keep producers on the land and meat, dairy, and eggs on the dinner table. Now let's hit the dusty trail together as we uncover the heart of rural America.
Welcome to your show. Here's my mom, Amanda Radke.
Hey everyone, it's Amanda Radke back for another episode of The Heart of Rural America, the show where we highlight great people doing inspiring things in their rural communities to make agriculture and this country stronger. Today, I am riding solo on this episode, and this is a continuation of one of my top downloaded episodes from 2024, which was titled Bulletproof Your Business. I ran it in January of 2024. It was meant to motivate and inspire and kickstart your entrepreneurial pursuits, to really look at your life and give it an audit and say, this is what's important to me. These are the buckets I want to fill and pour into. This is what I need to cut. And this is what I need to do to get my goals accomplished for my business, for my farm and ranch, for my family, to build my faith, to do all these things in the next 12 months, the calendar year. So that was one of my most downloaded episodes of 2024. And as we kick off a new year, it is 2025. We are a few weeks into a new year. And I got to tell you, if you're sitting here listening to this, looking for motivation, looking for inspiration, sure, maybe I'm going to give you some of that. But I would counter that that's not what Americans need. They don't need to be motivated. They need to be disciplined. And that's what the theme of this episode is going to be about, is to how to find the discipline to actually accomplish the goals that you want to achieve. So nearly half of Americans make New Year's resolutions. Did you know that? Any guesses on how many actually stick to those resolutions? Only about 25% of Americans actually stay committed to their resolutions after just 30 days. And that's according to research done by Columbia University. And even fewer, less than 10% accomplish their goals for the year. In fact, you know, in looking, kind of reading up on this, seeing the statistics and trends, getting ready for this episode, the most common resolutions are exercising more, losing weight, saving money. But people tend to, the reason they fail at their resolutions, they tend to go too hard, too restrictive, too quickly, instead of taking small, measured, reasonable steps with practiced discipline and application every single day. And so the number one reason people give that they are quitting on their goals is that their goals were unrealistic or unachievable and idealistic. As I was reading about this, I thought, well, I don't think any goal is unrealistic, but if you're setting a goal, it can be as wild as you want it to be. In fact, I just read recently a quote that I really liked, and it was, in your prayers, don't insult God by not being willing to ask him for the biggest of the big things that you could possibly imagine that look impossible to you, but with God, they are achievable. So I really don't believe it's because people set too big of goals. It's just they don't have the discipline to follow through. They're willing to break a promise that they're making to themselves, and then that translates to other things in your life. So if you can get your head on straight, if you set a goal and you can stick to that goal, then it will overflow into other things, your relationships, your friendships, your business, your interactions with other people. It's growth. And if you can grow personally and strengthen your mind, it will help you in an abundance of ways. But knowing that the majority of society quits on their goals in January of a new year, you got to start asking yourself, well, what can I do to be an exception to that rule? Did you know that there is a thing called the Quitter's Day? Yes, that's right. There is actually a day called Quitter's Day, which falls on the second Friday of January. So as we air this episode, we are into the third week of January. Things are rolling along. Maybe you've already quit on your New Year's resolutions. That's okay. I'm here to get you back on track. I'm here to get you focused. We're going to talk about the way that maybe some things that I do that might help you out. But it's going to be some tough love, okay? This is not an episode where I'm going to coddle you and tell you it's okay. This is not an episode where I say, well, we're 3 weeks. We're already into 1 month of the year. You know, you might as well roll over and die now. There's no sense in trying. No, I don't believe in excuses. I only believe in results. And I'm committed to helping you get the results that you want because I expect the same thing of myself. And so if you're listening to this episode, welcome to the party. We're going to cover a lot of ground. It's going to be, like I said, some tough love. And this is the same tough love I give myself. And one of the most common things people tell me, because I run multiple businesses, I'm involved in my church, I've got 4 children, I'm involved in politics, my schedule is crazy busy. And people always ask me, Amanda, how do you get it all done? And there's some things that I've really thought about that because I, you know, in my mind, we all get the same 24 hours in a day. And it's how we spend those 24 hours that really counts. Are you making your 24 hours count or not? And in society, we've kind of been brainwashed or trained, indoctrinated to think we need to have this word called balance. Balance in everything. If we can achieve this balance, we'll be happy, we'll be whole, whatever. But balance never gets you the grand home run hitters. Balance never gets you the results that you want to see. If you have a goal, you have to become obsessed about that goal so that you choose through your daily actions to do one thing, at least one thing that gets you just an inch closer to that goal every single day. Now, if you were striving towards balance, you wouldn't have that mentality because you would be earmarking certain time for this and certain time for that. And, you know, well, then you got to have rests and vacations and all these things. But to truly have success, you have to become focused on that thing. You can have many things going on in your life. I have many things going on, businesses, being a parent, being a wife, being a mother, all the organizations that I'm a part of, all the missions, the political adversaries that I take on. I have all these things, and yes, they can take away my focus from my ultimate goals, but at the end of the day, I know who I am as a person, I know what my values are, and I know the good Lord will abundantly bless me and challenge me and get me through hard times and get me through the valleys and get me to the peaks of the mountains. He will do all that. All I have to do is be obedient to Him, to listen to Him, to pray on the decisions that I make, and then to use discernment to allocate my time, my resources, my talent, my treasures into things that really matter. And in turn, I have found He will bring me the right people. He will provide me with the right resources. He will help me in moments of doubt. He will help me in hardships and to get through things that I can't think I can do by myself. He will make me stronger, and I will do things for Christ through my work, through my parenting, through my marriage, through my relationships and friendships. And so that being the center of it all, faith and a belief in something bigger than yourself helps to give your life purpose and meaning. Then you aren't striving for comfort and balance and things that make it feel like your life is orderly and perfect and nothing will ever go wrong. That's not the life we should be striving for. We should be striving for a life that challenges us, that lifts us up, that presses us to do things outside of what we think we can accomplish ourselves. But it takes discipline, it takes hard work. It takes really a doggedness, a determination that cannot be deterred by the doubters and the naysayers and the negative Nancys, which we all have in our life.
At Radke Land and Cattle, we proudly use Advanced Ag Products BioReg Plus with its proprietary coating technology for slow release of essential oils in the lower GI tract. BioReg Plus products are designed and proven to help beef producers with overall performance, feed intake, gut integrity, nutritional support, immunity, fertility, and reproductive health. With the rising cost of beef cattle production today, having optimal performance and minimizing health challenges in every head counts. Learn more at bioreg.com and tell them Amanda sent you.
The Heart of Rural America is presented to you
by CK6 Consulting Services. I have the great pleasure of working alongside the CK6 team, including Chris Earle, Wes Tiemann, and Cody Fleeman, and it's an honor to assist cattle producers as they strive to meet their business goals. With a purebred Angus specialization, we have a full slate of auction sales coming up as we work to maximize price discovery and capture true value for our clients and customers. Plus, let us help you identify your next herd sire for the upcoming breeding season. At CK6 Source, you'll find great customer service, fast shipping, and a focus on leading Angus genetics. Learn more about what we do at ck6consulting.com and ck6source.com. We would love to assist you any way we can. God bless.
Today, that's what we're going to talk about, is exactly that. And I want to kick off the show by reminding you, you are so much stronger than you know. You can do really hard things. And yet, as a society, there seems to be this acceptance that mediocrity is the thing, that as long as you're choosing the comfortable path, everything will be good in life. And I often see that in life. We often have choices in life where we can pick the path of least resistance, or we can pick the path that's hard, the path that will have resistance, that will be difficult, that will challenge us, that will make us better people in the long run. But it can be a difficult road to take. It is the one that's going to challenge us the most. But if we constantly choose the easy path, if we constantly choose the life of comfort and ease, where is that going to get you? It's not going to get you the grand results that you hope for. And you know, there's a poem that I really love. I've loved it since I was a little girl. And talking about this really reminds me of it. But it is the poem, The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. Now, there's a lot of interpretations to this poem, but I really interpreted it as that metaphor of you have two paths in life and you get to choose which path you take. And so I want to briefly read this poem and just let it sink in as I read through the words of what it really means as you're choosing a path for 2025. So The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, and leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. My friends, are you choosing the path of least resistance, the path that everyone chooses, the path that's been well traveled and worn, and all of society lives that way and does that and has those routines and joins those clubs and has their kids in these activities and on it goes. So you're doing what everybody does and yet you're expecting different results for yourself? Or are you choosing the road less traveled, the one that hasn't been beaten down, that doesn't have a clear path forward? I would challenge you in 2025 to choose that path. The one where there may be roots coming from the tree that might trip you up along the path, where there's branches that have fallen that you have to step over, where there's holes and gullies and washouts, and you don't know what lies ahead because it's up and down and round it goes. But if you choose that unbeaten path, in business, in life, in your family, in your relationships, in your pursuits, I promise you, it is worth the journey. And the journey along the way will be the reward. Now, speaking of that, that's oftentimes the untold story of setting a resolution or a goal. Now, I don't journal. I don't do vision boards. I don't do anything fancy. I do not meditate. I do not do yoga. I do not do any of those things that the gurus tell you you're supposed to do to find motivation and your center and to figure out what you want to do with your life. But what I do is at the beginning of every year, I've got a plain old white marker board in my office. I write the 10 things I want to get done. I might break it up into quarters. And I talked about that in that episode last year, which I would encourage you to go back and listen to, and I will share it again. I break it up in quarters like a football game. And my year is broken up into 4 football quarters. And that way it doesn't look so daunting. This is what I want to get done in quarter 1. This is what I want to get done before the half of the year. This is what I want to get done in quarter 4 when we're looking at making that touchdown pass. The clock is running low and the time is almost up. That's how I look at my year, and I break up my goals into reasonable chunks so that all my goals aren't just in one bucket, but I'm mindful of all my goals. I know that I need to do a little bit towards each goal every day of the year to get closer to those goals. And that's what I do as I tackle a new year. So resolutions are often all or nothing. You know, it's I'm going to work out every day. I'm going to lose this weight by this date and all these things. But even if we fail in the pursuit of these goals, say you want to lose weight, the scale doesn't budge, but you've been working out every day. You've been getting stronger. You've been training your mind to wake up and do the task. Have you really failed if you didn't reach your weight loss goal? Or have you gotten stronger, more fit, more disciplined? Have you created a habit? And then can those habit creating things that you do each and every day to get yourself to the gym, can they translate to other things in your life? Like showing up at work earlier, putting in longer days, not having to take a break, staying focused on the task at hand. See, that's the thing. It's not about motivation. It's about the discipline and the going through the motions of a task towards a goal that makes you stronger. It is saying no to many things so you can say yes to the one thing. And that's where balance doesn't even make sense. I know what my goals are in life. And ultimately, I'm thinking long term, not for myself, but for future generations. I want a farm and ranch that's viable, where the family land stays within the family, where my kids can look at production agriculture as a viable, reasonable pathway to success. But yet I also know that all of the challenges are in front of me. Tyler and I have started from scratch. We're buying land parcel by parcel. People will tell us it doesn't pencil out. It doesn't make sense. You guys will never make it. You have to be born into it. You have to inherit it. It has to be given to you. Unless you have those multiple generations, it will not work. Well, I'm lucky to have parents and grandparents that have been in production agriculture that showed me the way, that taught me that hard work, that discipline, that grit. And I talk about this all the time in my generational farming and ranching speeches, where I work with families to coach them through the ups and downs of life. And that one of the things I learned early on is that Tyler and I are not back at home on the family farm and ranch. We live adjacent to it, but our business is completely separate. Now, I had a hard time with that at first. I thought, well, this isn't how it's supposed to go in my mind. And yet I realized it was a great blessing for my parents because I'm not sitting around waiting for assets that might not be there. Instead, I'm growing, I'm building, I'm laying the foundation for a business that Tyler and I can create on our own to stand on our own 2 feet. And then if there's generational things that come our way, if we have opportunities to buy or rent or inherit land and other assets down the road, well, then wonderful, that's gravy, but we weren't sitting around waiting for something that might not happen. And I see that all the time in agriculture. We want to blame the older generation. We want to be the victim. We want to claim that victim status. We want to say there's no way we can make it work. And yet in my speeches, we focus on monetizing and adding value to every acre and every animal on your operation. You do not have to be a big time operator to make it work in production agriculture today. But you also cannot be a commodity mindset if you're going to do that. So if you're going to be a small family farmer ranch, you better be looking at a niche market, a value-added opportunity, or some way to maximize every asset, every resource that you have at your disposal. That's where marketing, branding, being authentic, finding the customers you want to serve, telling your story, and connecting with people is so incredibly important, because that's how you get paid. And so that's where I'm at in life. And I think about, I have this pressure that I carry around all the time on my shoulders. And I talk at a lot of banking conferences, and I tell the bankers, I tell the lenders, when a farmer or rancher walks into your bank and they are asking for a loan, you need to understand that they're carrying the weight, not of the world, but of the previous generations that came before them and the future generations they may never meet on their shoulders.
You guys know, as a beef girl, I take grilling very seriously around here. And I've been using Redmond Real Salt for over a decade to season my steaks and burgers. It's unrefined, ancient sea salt, exactly as nature made it. It contains 60 plus naturally occurring trace minerals, and it truly brings out the best of the beef we raise at home on the ranch. This American family-owned business also focuses on livestock products. And at Radke Land and Cattle, we are proud to use the beneficial Redmond Real Salt minerals to get back to the basics and help our cattle improve fertility, immunity, and feed efficiency. It's natural, simple, and effective for people and livestock. Discover more at redmondagriculture.com and redmondlife.com and use code RADKE to save, or contact a local dealer and mention my name for a special discount. Working cattle can be stressful at times, but the job is made so much easier with equipment that is safe, strong, and simply designed. I highly recommend Real Tough Livestock Equipment for all your working facility needs. We just installed the deluxe chute at Radke Land and Cattle, and it has been an absolute game changer as we run cows through our chute during AI season. It's durable and easy to use, and it's made to last a lifetime. Real Tough offers a wide range of products, including calving barns, panels, loading chutes, tubs, alleys, and portable working systems. Manufactured in the U.S. of A., Real Tough is family-owned and operated. Their commitment to helping farm and ranch families truly exemplifies what this show is all about. Learn more at realtough.com, that's T-U-F-F, and be sure to tell them Amanda sent you to receive an extra bonus with your order. Let's get you some iconic green Real Tough equipment headed your way. I promise you're going to love it.
So for me, I'm always thinking about my kids, my future grandkids one day, or the generations that will come later, that I want them to be proud of what Tyler and I accomplished in the generation, in the life that we were given and we are proud of. And so in order to do that, it's delaying gratification. It's saying yes to something that's long-term, meaningful, impactful, that's lasting, and saying no to the things we want in this moment. And so what motivates me is not to become rich and famous and have nice things and nice cars and nice houses. What motivates me is what will be here that lasts, that sticks with us, that will benefit my future loved ones. And so that's kind of that mindset that a lot of farmers and ranchers have. And that's the weight that they carry. It can be a blessing. It can be a huge motivator, but it can also be a very, very heavy burden to shoulder, to live with that kind of pressure. And so then the question becomes, how do you carry that pressure? And how do you make good decisions with that pressure? Because let's remember, pressure isn't bad. Feeling like you have to get something done, feeling under pressure, is actually a good thing. Diamonds were made under pressure. It's funny, we were just talking about future generations. Soren, we were talking about making decisions on the ranch today that will benefit you when you're an adult. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, are there things we do on the ranch you think right now that might be setting things up so that one day you can run the ranch when you're old?
Yep.
Like what?
like learning stuff right now can help you when I own a ranch or something.
That's right. Or like setting goals together as a family. So like, what's a goal we have as a family that we're working on like a lot right now? What are we getting ready to do at the ranch this winter?
We're having a bull sale in our shed.
Yeah. So we're having our first ever bull sale. Is it exciting?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a lot of work? So talk about the work that you've been doing, that you've been helping with, that someday will like, it'll just be the systems that are in place for success.
We poured some cement and they're getting ready to insulate and stuff. And we are working on an auction block right now, and that's about it.
Yep. So Thorn has been really helpful in building this auction block. We're repurposing old wood. We're staining it, putting it all together ourselves. Thorn had the hammer and nails and the level out. And I told him, because what do you want to be one day?
I want to be a farmer.
And what else?
An auctioneer.
An auctioneer. So I told him this auction block could be the place where you sell bulls one day as a rancher or an auctioneer, but we're setting the groundwork for success. We can see the long-term vision, but we're doing little things each day to get us closer to that goal. So on the goal of becoming a world champion auctioneer, what could you do today at 8 years old that would help you get closer to becoming an auctioneer?
I could practice.
How do you practice? Like, where do you learn?
I learn from watching people do it.
Like on YouTube?
On YouTube.
And then repeating their chants, mm-hmm. their calls. We also asked an auctioneer one time and he gave Thorn 2 pages of like chants that he could start practicing. But yeah, practicing. Even when Thorn was 5, 6 years old, we'd do little auctions in the living room, wouldn't we? Mm-hmm. So what would you auction off in the living room?
I would auction off my little Nerf guns and stuff.
Yeah, you would sell them to the highest bidder?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was really cool. So Thorn, we're talking about goal setting. So I was telling folks, they don't really need to be motivated. They need to be disciplined. Do you know what disciplined means?
Mm-mm.
You don't? What did I tell you the other day that you could do to reach another goal that you have? What's that goal that you want to do in sports?
State wrestling champion.
How does one become a state wrestling champion?
You keep practicing and work hard.
Yep. So I was talking to your wrestling coach. We happened to see a wrestling coach out on the town on New Year's Eve. And he was talking about kind of the struggles of the wrestling program. And he said one of the biggest challenges of being a wrestling coach is that the kids are soft nowadays. They're soft. But he said your kids, being farm and ranch kids, have an edge because they know how to work. So what can you do each day to become a little bit stronger, a little bit faster, and to become a better wrestler? We're setting goals for 2025. So what can you do?
Work hard.
Work hard. What does that mean? Like, what are you doing to work hard to become a better wrestler?
Don't be lazy.
Don't be lazy. So what are you doing instead of sitting on the couch being lazy? Like
working.
Strength training? Like, what have I told you need to start doing?
Push-ups.
Sit-ups.
And jumping jacks.
Jumping jacks. Yep. And then, by doing that, you're getting stronger. You're becoming disciplined, meaning it's a habit that you're developing each day where you get a little bit stronger every single day. Now, the second thing you need to become a state champion wrestler is you need to know you don't just go out and be a state champion wrestler. You first have to have the fundamentals. So what would the fundamentals be? What wrestling moves do you know right now?
Half Nelson, I got that down pretty good. I got the double leg. And you just got to keep practicing and you'll get it. The fundamentals are just like shots and stance and stuff like that.
Yeah. Is there a lot more moves you don't know yet?
Yes.
So how do you learn moves that you don't know?
You listen to who's showing you how to do it and then you just learn it while you go.
And you learn it how you go. And so I would also add, and by the way, I got so excited that he came into my studio and joined me. But on the show right now is Thorn Radke, my oldest son. He is 8 years old and aspires to be a farmer, rancher, state wrestling champion, and world-class auctioneer. And so Thorn, the theme of the show has been goal setting for 2025, because every year Americans all across the country set goals for what they want to achieve. And you know, 90% of them, that's 9 out of every 10, they don't achieve their goals. That's crazy. So what can we do to become that 10% that reaches their goals? I had some advice. So you said to practice, to train, to create habits, to watch videos. The other thing that I would offer for advice is to find a mentor. Do you know what a mentor is? A mentor is like a teacher or a coach, someone that helps you out. So what would you say a mentor is for your dad and I in the cattle business? We have really great mentors from our parents, our grandparents, the people that surround ourselves with, Chris Earle at CK6 Consulting, people that we've bought cattle from, our friends that we've made in the industry. So you could apply that to your goal of being a great wrestler or a great auctioneer. You need a great coach or a mentor or someone that's already found success in your path that could teach you, offer advice that you could shadow and learn from. So like your coach in wrestling, he knows a ton about wrestling, right? So what's one thing that he taught you that you wouldn't have learned without his help?
A lot of things. The fireman's carry, I didn't really know how to do that. And just learning different moves I never knew.
Yeah. What about when there was a period of time you weren't sure you could wrestle and compete in tournaments? What did he teach you about not giving up and facing your fears?
Just don't give up and work harder.
Like, don't quit.
Yep.
Right? So sometimes, and that's great advice, sometimes you have to do things when you don't want to do them. You have to show up to work when you don't want to work. When you see people enjoying their weekends, going on vacations, that's when you're putting in overtime in your business. I know building the Bid on Beef platform with my partners in 2024, that summer of developing the website and getting it rolling was grueling for the hours we had to put in working with the web designers, working with the advertisers, working to work out all the glitches, working with our ranching families, working out all the tiny things you wouldn't think of until you're in the fire and doing it. But being willing to put in those long hours, to skip holidays, to do the work that nobody else is willing to do, separates the winners and the losers. So our problem in society is we have accepted mediocrity. We have accepted that comfort is more important than anything. We have taken on an attitude of apathy. And those things, mediocrity, comfort, apathy, those are your enemy. The problem isn't society, though. The problem is you and your headspace. Are you making excuses all the time? Are you choosing the path of least resistance? Maybe. And if you are, realize that the solution is also you. Instead of choosing the path of least resistance, learning to take action, learning to embrace being uncomfortable, learning to accept and maybe even enjoy, which sounds weird, enjoy suffering, enjoy the grind, enjoy the day-to-day, attack your day. Don't be on the defense, be on the offense. So I could sit around and say, oh, I'm not the best speaker or the best cattle rancher or the best business owner. And it's all these reasons, these external things, that's the reason I'm not succeeding. Or I can say, hey, I want to reach new levels in my business, in my speaking career, in my cattle operation, but I am the person that can do that. Do I have the right mentors? Am I surrounding myself with the right people? Remember, you are the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. So are you spending your time with high quality friends, mentors, coaches, and peers who lift you up, who aren't around just to idly gossip and talk at the water cooler, but who are talking about big ideas, big dreams, and big plans for what they have ahead? And that would be my next advice. Is, you know, you really can't do business on an island. A lot of people think I can do it myself. And yes, 90% of the work you do will be alone. It will be solo. It will be lonely. It will be the work that nobody else sees. But it's that final 10% where you're marketing, where you're networking, where you're connecting and building relationships. That's where the profitability is found. You cannot do business on an island. If you have the best products or the best bulls or the best book to sell on planet Earth, but nobody knows about it, it's hard to be successful in business. And so mastering the skills of telling your story, being authentic, having strong values, not bending to the ways of the world, but being authentic and true, having a purpose, remembering that people matter, standing up for what you believe in. Success can be lonely. The grind can be lonely. But what gives true purpose to what you're doing is the people that you can impact and bring along with you on the way. And so using your voice, your platform, your business for good. We've been taught as society, don't talk about politics, don't talk about religion, don't talk about things that might alienate people. And yet if you are a Bible-believing Christian standing on the truth thorn, knowing that Jesus Christ is the way, and that you're, that should be reflected not just on Sundays, but every day of the week. That, what do I tell you guys all the time when we leave the house about being an ambassador? Who are you an ambassador for? Who do you represent? You're representing the Radke family, but who else do you represent?
Jesus.
Jesus. And so what do I say that you kids should act like if you are an ambassador for Christ?
Like Jesus.
So like, what are the qualities that he has that you should emulate? And
follow the Ten Commandments.
Follow the Ten Commandments. What else was Jesus like?
A good kid.
He was a good kid? Yep. So was he kind?
Yes.
Was he loving?
Mm-hmm.
But did he tell the truth?
Yes.
Did he flip over tables when there was bad stuff?
No.
Yes, he did. Do you remember?
Yeah, he did.
Yes, he flipped over the tables. And why did he do that?
Because there was a sale that he didn't like.
In the church, mm-hmm. in the temple, right? Mm-hmm. And so he was willing to get angry and stand up for what was right, just as much as he was willing to sit with sinners and eat with them and share the gospel and the good news with them, right? Mm-hmm. So he was firm in his beliefs. He honored his father and mother. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead. He did everything he came to do. He followed his word, right? He was true to his word. And that's what we can be. In our friendships, in our relationships, with our teachers at school, we're ambassadors for Christ. Yep. And so when you do that, pay the cost. If it loses you business to be authentically who you are and to stand in the truth, pay the cost. Lose the business. I promise you the good Lord will provide for you, will find you prosperity and abundance, will find you peace, even in the storm, even if you lose it all. I could lose the cattle ranch tomorrow, but I would still be okay. Why? Because although I love farming and ranching and agriculture, my identity cannot be in that farm. It has to be in Christ first. I have to love God more than I love any earthly possessions, even if it's a multi-generational tradition that I'm passionate about and loving. If I start loving my cattle and making them an idol above my faith, I'm doing it all wrong, right? So doing the unseen work that people cannot see, doing the grind when you don't want to. It's not about being motivated. It's about being disciplined. Fail every day. I fail every single day in one aspect of my business, but I still show up. I still do the work. I attack the day. My husband and I always talk about this. Going on offense means getting up. When your feet hit the ground, you attack the day. And how do you attack the day? What do I mean by that? I mean, breaking up your day and prioritizing things, knowing if you only have 24 hours in the day, making each of those hours count by prioritizing the things that will make you money, that will move the needle on your goals, that will build your business, and delegating tasks that you can get done in short periods of time, blocking off those tasks, and really tackling the day so that at the end of the day, you can see results from your efforts. A lot of people stay busy just for busy stakes, or they work in the business, but not on the business. So you could stay busy all day, putting down straw, feeding the cattle, fixing the fence, doing all those things. And those things are all important. But if you forget the marketing piece, the branding piece, the storytelling piece, it doesn't matter how good you execute your farm and ranch operation. if you forget to tell the story and tell people what you have, to build the relationships, to build the network, to build the brand and the story. And yet that's the hardest part for people because they're so busy doing the rest. So Tyler and I talk about this a lot. We both have multiple businesses, full-time jobs, and we're running the ranch. It means every minute of our day counts. We don't have time to be idle. We have to attack the day. We have to know our purpose. We have to know the people that we're wanting to serve. We have to know what gets us from point A to point B, executing the must-have to-do items on our list while also focusing on those bigger picture items that get us closer to the goal where a kid like Thorne Alvin Radke can say when he's 18, 20 years old, yes, mom and dad, I want to be a rancher. And this business that we have built gives him an avenue and a pathway to do exactly that. So a few more minutes in the show before we have to wrap, but I just want to end with a few final parting pieces of advice. If you're still committed to rally around those New Year's resolutions, to write your goals on the whiteboard, to really conquer 2025 and be a victor at the end of the year, no matter what comes your way, focus on setting clear goals, the right goals, goals that are reflected in your values, in your purpose, and the people you want to serve. Prioritize those tasks. Manage and limit your distractions. Build your willpower through consistent habits. Consistently follow through, even on the things you commit to yourselves. Like, I'm going to wake up at 4 a.m. so I can get to the office and get things done between 4 and 7 before my kids wake up and before the phone starts ringing. And if you push snooze on the alarm clock at 4 a.m. and you push snooze and ride that alarm clock until 5:30, you have broken a commitment to yourself. And that sets the tone for you to break other commitments to yourself and to others throughout the day. So stick to your commitments. If your word is your bond, make sure your word is your bond, even to yourself. Break down your large tasks into smaller, manageable tasks. Don't give up if things don't go right. Accept and give yourself grace that you will fail, but the ultimate failure is not getting up the next day and doing it again. Failure is just a roadblock. It's just a teaching tool, but it does not define you. Finally, be very careful about surrounding yourself with the right people. Negativity, even one negative person in your life, can poison the well for everything. So optimism, positivities, doers, growers, thinkers, builders, find those people and be around them constantly. You are the average of the people you hang out with, so make sure you're hanging out with people who will make you the best version of yourself. I promise it makes a difference. And if you do have negative people in your life, be that positive person and lift them up. Do not accept a train of thought that leads down a negative, I can't do this attitude. Finally, remember, you're not in a race against anybody else. Thorne, we're not competing against the world. We are competing against ourselves. What can I accomplish? What can I get done? What can I do when I pray on my decisions and follow God in obedience of where He wants me to go? So where do you think God wants you to go in 2025, Thorne Radke?
The right trail.
The right trail. And what's the right trail look like?
Being good, following the Ten Commandments.
Yeah. And do you have any big plans for 2025? You got a bull sale coming up February 17th. You have your first communion in church in April. And you got shooting sports. You're showing a steer. Do you have any goals for shooting sports?
Get a bullseye.
Get a bullseye? Do you want to make it to state?
Yes.
Yes. And do you have any goals with your steer?
Yes.
What?
Make him good.
Make him good. And how do you do those things? It's all the same, whether it's wrestling, auctioneering, showing a steer, or doing shooting sports. What do you have to do each day to get a little bit better?
Work longer and harder.
Work at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Work at it even when you don't want to. Wash the steer even when you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
Practice your target shooting even when you'd rather be on the couch. Do your push-ups and sit-ups even if you'd just rather eat a bag of chips. Does that sound fun in the short term?
Mm.
No. But what does it mean when you accomplish your goals in the long term?
You feel better.
You feel better. Like anything is possible, mm-hmm. right? Yep. Well, cheers to a great 2025, my friend.
I have one more thing I want to do in 25.
What's that?
Be better at shooting sports than my sister.
Scarlett's sitting here listening too. Challenge accepted, Scarlett. Oh, we got a rivalry going on here. I guess we are in competition against. It's like I'm growing my own little militia here at the Radke Ranch. So, well, our time is up, Thorne Radke. Thanks for joining me on the show. I'm Amanda Radke for the Heart of Rural America, encouraging you to find discipline over motivation in 2025 to create good and meaningful habits, to surround yourself with great people, and to go get after it by taking action in 2025. We only get closer to our goals by making incremental small steps each and every day. So go take that first step and then keep making that step forward every single day. And I think you'll be amazed at where you end up, where you travel, and what you accomplish when you get to the end of the year. May God bless you and Happy New Year from all of us at Radke Land and Cattle.
While I've got you here, I would love to invite you to check out my website, AmandaRadke.com. Each week, I share my column, this podcast, and new items to shop for farm and ranch families, including my children's books that celebrate agriculture. Use code DUSTYTRAIL to save 15% on your next purchase. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my small business and for your continued support in keeping me on the road fighting for farm and ranch families. I'm thankful to each and every one of you who tune into this show each week. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review to let me know how you're liking the content and our guests. Until the next time we meet on the Dusty Trail, I'm Amanda Radke, and this is the Heart of Rural America.